afraid, because if I am afraid, I would lose sight, and I would lose not only sight, vision and imagination.
Listen, we just have a minute. You were raised in a refugee camp in the occupied West Bank. You're a permanent U.S. resident. You enrolled in Columbia University to study philosophy, where you're also president of the Columbia University Buddhist Association. How has your faith and upbringing in the occupied West Bank guided your activism and your stance today?
Amy, I have to share, because of 1 minute, I have to share with you that I was attacked and other students were attacked not merely for protesting. The media has missed the point. And they started saying the pro-Palestine protest or the Palestinian movement. The movement had an actual goal, an objective, and that is divestment. Divestment, boycott, and sanctions, because this is the only way that we can bring peace and justice in a non-violent and peaceful way. And we do it with love, compassion, and empathy. And that's why the Trump administration gets so scared of people like me who organize and are still organizing, because I will not be deterred and I will not actually give up to their exhaustion tactics. The harder they come on me, the more energy and power I will have, and I will continue to work for the freedom of the Palestinian people and the right of return and equal rights and human rights for Palestinians.
Mohsen Mahdawi, graduate student at Columbia University, thank you so much for being with us. I'm Amy Goodman.
I'm Molly, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
Take courage, turn the volume up. It's Labor Radio.
Tune in to KBOO every Monday from 6 to 6:30 p.m. for Labor Radio. Of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. First Monday, Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. Second Monday, Radical Teachers. Third Monday, Young Emerging Labor Leaders. And fourth Monday, Jobs with Justice. That's Labor Radio every Monday from 6 to 6:30 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Good morning, Portland. You are listening to KBOO. This is Genius Box, your Friday talk radio show. I'm Althea.
I'm Reed.
Hello, how are we? Good morning.
How are we? How are we today? How am I?
How are you?
Oh, good.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, welcome to the Genius Box. We have a show for you today. One of the shows we've ever done.
One of the shows ever.
Yep.
One of the shows...
Yeah, one of them. Yeah, absolutely. We've got some local headlines to discuss with you, and then in the second half of the show, we're opening up those phone lines if you would like to chat with us. Surprise, not really breaking news update, but we have a bunch of stuff that we want to get into, but there's a
breaking news, Portland.
Later breaking story that came out last night. Jeremiah Hayden at the Portland Mercury, friend of the show.
Woo.
New headline out right now that Reed, I think, hasn't read yet because I just found out about it.
I'm getting this now. I'm furiously sifting through my notes to yep. pose a rebuttal.
And we have sort of a special noise blocker for all of the paper rifling he's doing. But this is thank you, yes. All of these are cues for you to get into Foley. Hey, don't rip that.
Oh, sorry.
It's called City Issues Report, Clearing Zenith Energy of Alleged Violations.
I guess there weren't any issues.
Yeah, I guess it's fine. Subhead here, environmental advocates and city councilors remain skeptical, saying the investigation may have excluded critical context.
Oh.
So,
well, they don't need all that.
Context, schmontext. What are you investigating? When does context need to come into an investigation?
Well, sometimes a report, overkill. It works better if it's just concise. People aren't going to, who's going to read a 50-page report?
Right.
You get the executive summary, city cleared of all wrongdoing.
Yeah.
And
we're dusting our hands of it.
Basically say, okay, I don't think any of you numbskulls are going to read anything more, so why publish anything more?
Okay, a little bit of background. Zenith Energy, ever heard of it, is a oil transport company.
Mom and pop energy company.
Mom and pop, they're Texas owned, I want to say. Zenith Energy was, there was a resolution passed by the current council, or an ordinance, I should say, to investigate Zenith Energy's dealings with the city if they broke, if they violated city code or their franchise agreement when they were constructing, they were building stuff that they were did not have a
without
permit
without any
to
permits,
build.
Yeah. And already been fined by the Department of Environmental Quality over that.
Yeah, big time fine. Because the DEQ doesn't, well, I mean, big time fine for the DEQ, for the not DEQ, necessarily.
Yeah. $300,000 and for, Zenith must close up shop.
For oil construction company Zenith. And of course, Zenith sort of skirted around the city's ban on any new fossil fuel infrastructure by purchasing a, I think it was a concrete, this old facility that then they sort of got, were arguing that they got grandfathered in.
Yeah.
And there was some backdoor dealings with the city and with city councilors in years past. Previous city council, some current city councilors, Dan Ryan, wink, wink, were, you know, there was this like expose basically of the way that Zenith courted them to abandon a court case that they were winning to try to stop Zenith from expanding their fossil
some
fuel
sort
infrastructure.
Of pleasure cruise and meeting with lobbyists from Zenith.
There is, and Zenith's sort of claim now is that they will be transitioning to renewable fuels. And anyway, this investigation came, was voted in last year. And trying to figure out, you know, did city officials mislead city council in this info session last January? What the heck happened? And so there was this outside firm that looked at documents from the city and basically said, yeah, no, it's chill. But here's the issue about why people may still be skeptical. And this came out last night, so I think that there's like extra analysis of it that hasn't been done yet. Councilor Mitch Green, who like co-sponsored the resolutions, like all of city council found out 20 minutes before it became public that this was going to be out. So it's, you know, there's probably some more things to emerge later today. But over the summer, there was a little bit of, you know, tension based on the scope of work for this outside, outside group that was doing this, that, you know, if I can quote from a memo from Cable Houston, the memo said Cable Houston was not responsible for confirming the accuracy of documents it had access to, including some 300 documents Zenith provided to the city. Also quoting from the memo, accordingly, while we reviewed the same materials the city council reviewed and the same materials city staff reviewed, our task was not to conduct our own investigation or to independently confirm the accuracy of any materials provided to the city.
I might argue that should have been.
Well, what was the point of it then? Sorry, what do you mean? I'm confused. Yeah, also,
I'm not. It's not part of my jurisdiction to regard the legitimacy of this hastily scribbled note saying. no crimes here.
Yeah, I can verify that it says that. So, hey, there you go. Also, to quote, so there's like concerns that they weren't given enough documents or like background info. Here's another quote from the Mercury article. Notably absent from the background information in the city's document was mention of Zenith's prior infractions, including breaking its promises every year since 2018 after saying it would not increase emissions, failing to pay its franchise fees on time in 2018, defying state orders to practice for an oil spill in 2019, engaging in, quote, flagrant violations of a state air permit in 2021, and violating city lobbying code in 2022, as determined by the city law.
Let's not focus on the past. I'm sorry.
That's what they were supposed to do.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Never mind.
Also, a bunch of documents and evidence that was included in the actual city council resolution was maybe not even in, like, the investigative work at Street Roots and DSmog that, like, had this whole trove of documents about how this is, like, maybe that Zenith might be misleading the city, or that possibly city staff are then misleading city council on their on what they should do. That was not included in what Cable Houston was looking at. So it's,
based on those narrow confines, I would say the city.
My conscience is clear. I feel great about
the city has been cleared.
I think we're being a little sarcastic. We're being a little glib.
Oh,
guys.
I'm sorry.
Just to clarify where our position is on it.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I won't speak for you. You love Zenith. Am I right about that?
Well, I should. Is this a good time to disclose that I'm an employee with Zenith?
It's a tough job market out there.
I'm wearing my Zenith hoodie at the moment.
And you came in dripping in oil, actually.
Dripping, yeah. A little oil slick going behind me.
A little bit of pollution here in the Genius Box.
Yeah, it's getting pretty steamy in the Genius Box. Unfortunately, that steam is radiating off me.
Kind of choking some of the emissions we've got from Zenith. Anyway, that is sure to be a topic of conversation.
Emission that you have fun.
What?
That's my pitch for Zenith. I am their.
Oh, you're like their fun representative.
Sort of doing copywriting for them, and
yeah, maybe they.
Our only emission is for you to have fun.
I don't even think that makes sense. Emission. Oh, I get it. Sorry, I was not. I do get it now. It does make sense.
You have to swallow the E a little bit. Our only emission.
Right. I think they could smooth this all over if you're the fun officer and you're taking advice. Yeah. Citywide pizza party thoughts?
Fun officer sweating over allegations he paid city employees to overlook prior infractions.
I'm crystal ball looking to the future. What do I expect that we may see? We could see a second resolution about this saying that it's not good enough. I think that there's, from the sort of preliminary delineations that are outlined in this article, I think that there's reason to believe that city council might come back to that. I suspect that we will hear rhetoric about why do you keep dragging city staff over the coals about what they've been doing? That's not fair. I think we'll hear some city councilors wanting to defend city staff in that regard. I think you'll hear a lot of community outcry about this because it was one of the big things that city council accomplished last year, and it sort of doesn't seem that they, like, what was the point of the investigation if you didn't try to find out if something is true? I don't get it.
It does seem like the public knows what's going on, and so any claim to the contrary is going to not be popular.
Yeah, and of course, Mayor Keith Wilson is sort of touting the investigation. He has a press release saying, quote, "We have heeded the calls of council and our communities who raised concerns about the city's franchise agreement with Zenith Energy."
It turns out their concerns completely unfounded.
"These findings confirm that the city's public servants continue to do the hard work of adhering to the letter of our laws.
Perfect.
The city remains committed to sustainability and safety for all Portlanders now and in our future." Rough. Maybe they need to pass an ordinance that if you get fined by DEQ, you get in trouble, that violates your franchise agreement
should
with the city.
Maybe
something will come of this. Anyway, that's your early update on all of this. We have other things we wanted to talk about here on Genius
Box.
Ding, ding, ding. More things to yap about. Do you want to get into... So we've been talking about the Moda Center.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit. There is more
Our
talk.
Beautiful Moda Center.
Beautiful Moda Center.
Which
hey,
is crumbling.
It's not crumbling,
oh,
like
I'm
the
sorry.
Keller's crumbling.
No.
It is small.
It's small.
It's kind of small.
Quaint.
Well, did we get? Is it small or did everything else get big?
That's the big thing. It's like, oh, this is a small car. And you realize, oh, yeah, every other car is an SUV.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's kind of like being the oldest sibling. And you're like the big dog for so long. And then somebody hits a growth spurt. And they're like, how old are you? As the oldest sibling that happened to, I have sympathy for our Moda Center. Anyway.
As the youngest sibling, I have no sympathy for you. And in fact, I'm currently poking you right now, whining, tugging on your shirt, rubbing snot on your lapels?
My lapels.
Child lapels.
Keep
this image.
Okay, tell us a little bit, Reed, about what's going on. So maybe the state's going to give money to rebuild the Moda Center or to renovate it?
Yeah, so we just sold the Blazers. It was held by the Paul Allen family after Paul Allen's passing. Sold this summer to a Mr. Tom Dundon of North Carolina. The subprime auto loan tycoon.
If you've you know the one.
of the North Carolina Dundon family?
Of the North Carolina subprime auto loan tycoon Dundon.
Subprime auto loan tycoon. Yeah, is that the same? Yeah. So just based on that, you know that he's probably
He came by the money honestly.
Just kind of raised himself up by his own bootstraps.
Of course.
And now owns this, you know, billions of dollars franchise in Portland. He's not much of a Portlander per se.
No.
He's not from Portland, but there is some understanding that perhaps he wants to keep the team in Portland. Unfortunately, the best person to speak for that would be a Mr. Tom Dundon.
And he's said nothing.
Who's said nothing.
And so we've had the past couple weeks city, state, county leaders sort of chasing their tails, being like, we love the Blazers and we would do anything.
We would do anything for you, Tom Dundon.
We need them so bad. Hey, I got the keys to the state treasury. Let's get in there. How much money do you want? Tom Dundon, we don't know how much he would commit to renovating the Moda Center.
The thing is, yeah, we have no understanding of Tom Dundon, where he's coming from, what his intentions are, because, again, he's remained silent. And so you have the state and city leaders. They're seeing, oh, we got a ramshackle Moda Center. This guy's going to walk in. He's going to see the mothballs falling out of the ceiling, and he's going to go, geez, I got to get this team out of here. And for their own safety, they're going to get, you know, mesothelioma from the asbestos in the roof.
That's not even true. The Moda Center is fine, but people don't want anymore.
The point of it being is there's now a proposed bill in this Oregon legislator short session. There is a proposal by Mayor Keith Wilson both to use public funds.
Oh yeah, he was talking about using PSEF money
to renovate the Moda Center in order to keep the Blazers here, in order to revitalize the Rose Quarter. I think that's sort of the logic chain behind it. We put public money into the Moda Center. Mm. Tom Dundon keeps the Blazers here. Profit for all. Unfortunately,
caveats.
The caveat is that the person who seems to profit most directly from this appears to be a Mr. Tom Dundon.
Yeah.
We have no idea about his intentions.
Of the subprime auto loan.
Of the subprime auto loan industry. An industry famously which is like consumer-oriented.
It's all very above board.
Equitable.
Sarcasm, guys. Sarcasm.
So this past week, I saw this Substack article that was linked in the Willamette Week article.
Mm-hmm.
Just going through the chain.
Sure.
Eden Krolowitz, who's a big Blazer fan, resident of New York City. So shout out to independent researchers who don't even live in Portland, but who take an interest in our little quaint teeny town, just the local goings on over here.
One horse town trying to become a two horse town.
Eden
Please.
looked at this Senate bill that's proposed, Senate Bill 1501, which is trying to curry together some state funds to renovate the Moda Center. I almost said Rose Garden again. The Moda Center is currently owned by the city.
Oh yeah, that was a recent thing.
They purchased it in 2021. This Senate bill would propose that basically what the state does is they take the whole Rose Quarter surrounding mm-hmm. the Moda Center, and they turn it into kind of like a TIF district where you kind of scrape off the top
tax
of,
increment financing
of a certain tax that's
you borrow against future tax
that's
revenues.
Kind of yeah you define an area, scrape mm-hmm. off the extra tax when you're investing a lot of money into it, so you're basically in effect you're raising the value of this place, and then you're taking that excess value and you're recirculating it back into that place.
That makes it sound so good.
And it makes it sound so good.
As if TIF districts aren't an insanely fraught system, but we don't even need to really get into that.
Now, normally that's done with property tax. This right. one would be done with the income taxes of employees in the Rose Quarter. So you'd have those that work in the Moda Center. Mm-hmm. You have performers. Mm-hmm. And then you have construction workers that are working on, you would have to think, the new Moda Center construction. Mm-hmm. You kind of scrape off a certain bit of those income taxes. You funnel it back in. That helps renovate the Moda Center. And then once it's done, you hand it off to this LLC that's owned by Tom Dundon.
Of the subprime auto loan.
Here you go, Tom. Beautiful new stadium. Now, don't you want to stay here?
Don't worry. We didn't give you a minimum lease.
There are some maybe what Eden points out is that there are maybe a certain lack of, let's say, citizen oversight,
taxpayer protections
and general protections to make sure this guy doesn't say okay bye at the end of all this. So one being that the money that's being used to renovate the stadium for this, who is it again? Subprime auto loan tycoon.
Yeah, yeah,
let me check my notes.
Sorry. You can get him confused with any other Dundon, so it's good to clarify that.
That's not necessarily, let's say, like excess taxes that just have been created out of all this investment. These are actually taxes that go into the general fund that are used to fund, let's say, critical infrastructure in a state in a time when, Althea, just correct me, are we flush with cash and able to totally fund all of our public services?
No. Sorry. Okay. Oh, you're thinking of a different Oregon.
But we must have $600 million just lying around that we don't have any use for, right?
No. Okay. Not really. Can I read you a quote from, read one of the quotes from the Substack, if that's okay?
Please.
Quote, here's what's critical to understand. None of these are new taxes. And also, sorry, pause, time out on the play. Sorry to talk so much about taxes.
Yeah.
I feel like taxes, everybody's are, like, oh, taxes.
They
are
boring.
But they also are unfortunately important, and they're also yours.
They are yours.
Okay,
yeah.
Time back in. None of this is new economic activity. The Rose Quarter already exists. People already work there. Performers already play the Moda Center. These income taxes are already being collected and already flowing to the general fund. SB 1501 does not create new revenue. It diverts existing revenue away from the general fund during a $650 million state budget shortfall and redirects it to an arena renovation fund for a privately operated entertainment venue. This is a tax level, or sorry, state level tax increment financing TIF district applied to a district that is not blighted, not undeveloped, and not in need of the kind of catalytic public investment that TIF is designed to provide. The Rose Quarter is already generating this tax revenue. The bill simply takes it.
Right. So the way that Eden spins it is that this is a $600 million handout to, check my notes.
Yeah, sorry. Who's it for again?
Subprime auto loan tycoon.
Now, cool.
Granted, I suppose maybe the construction of this new and better Moda Center could be understood as like new investment, new development. The fact of the matter is, though, that the protections for keeping the Blazers with this new Moda Center, the kind mm-hmm. of the critical piece in yeah. all of this, the thing that's, if we were to understand that we're handing out $600 million, the thing that at least spins this narrative so that there's some sort of like positive spillover for the city is that there is a team playing there.
Right.
The connection would be that you would, and you know, when people were, proponents of the bill were pitching this bill, they were saying, you know, this investment is reliant on a professional basketball team being in the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you go actually into the Senate bill, it turns out that there is a requirement for a lease that the team must enter into with the stadium, and there's the agreement to fund the stadium. But those two things are not the same. So they can enter into this agreement so long as the Blazers have any sort of lease with the legally binding lease with the Moda Center. But that could be like 3 years, 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is to say that once the state starts investing in the Moda Center, they have a an interest in continuing to invest in the Moda Center reconstruction.
Right.
The Blazers don't necessarily have that same incentive to stay there.
Right.
And so
right.
you can get into a situation where 3 or 5 years down the line, once that lease ends, the Blazers can say, or I should say Tom Dundon, not the Blazers, Tom Dundon can say,
the Blazers love us.
The Blazers love us.
The Blazers love
us. We love, I forget the hipster lumberjack, or I'm sorry, not lumberjack, Sasquatch, hipster Sasquatch.
Sure, sure.
And of course, Blaze, the rodent mascot.
Is he a rodent? I thought he was a dog.
Could not tell you. Okay.
He's a call dog, in if dog you know rodent. If he's a dog or not.
Please call in if you are the mascot.
Call in if you're Blaze. We know you've never spoken before, but now would be a great time on Genius Box this morning.
What the non-alignment of these two agreements does is that it creates an effect, a really nice hostage situation that Tom Dundon can present to the Blazers or to the city.
Yeah.
Which is to say, you've already invested all this money. Some portion of these $600 million.
Cough it up, or I'm going.
You better invest more. You better do this and this and this.
I don't feel like paying this.
Or else I'm gone. I don't feel like paying this. Yeah. I'm subprime auto loan tycoon. Don't you realize that?
Nobody messes with me.
I'm winning on someone else's dollar.
Yeah. Also, this is a bit reminiscent. We haven't had a chance to talk about this, but I'm sure people have heard about the Lloyd Center redevelopment and that plans are out and they're knocking down parts of the mall, soon to be the entire mall, right? Even though it's sort of become this cool artsy thing that's happening because rents are so low. But
and I mean, just like a really critical piece of public infrastructure for people around it. A place where you can go, get, you know, stay inside. No one's going to hassle you.
Right. I mean, the redevelopment of the Lloyd District is already in the works and has been happening for a couple of years now. But the most recent plans that came out says that the ice rink isn't going to be year-round anymore. That was like a big caveat was everybody was like, well, we can redevelop it, but we have to keep the ice rink.
We should probably keep the ice rink.
And so now they're saying that maybe there will be a seasonal ice rink.
Yeah.
Which is...
How does that sound?
It doesn't get that cold here, guys. I'm worried we're actually never going to have an ice rink. To the extent that U.S. Olympic figure skater Ilya Malinin, quad god himself. He...
came down from his lofty throne.
From his lofty throne in Milan and was posting about Save the Lloyd Center Ice Rink.
We got even Olympians saying this is a bad idea.
It's not going to be enough. But it's just the broken promises of it all.
Yeah, it's we got a bad public infrastructure twofer on our hands.
And you just, you know, you want to be able to give trust. You want to build trust with the people. You want them to feel like you're going to steward their dollars and the future of their communities with care. And hey, I'll say it. Maybe no one else is willing to. Broken promises are tough.
Yeah. So I'd recommend people read this Eden Kolowitz article.
It's $600 million
blank check. And what we didn't get into is the ways in which they could tailor this bill.
It's not, you know, they could invest money and have more guarantees.
Investment in the city, something that the Trailblazers have at least verbally spoken to.
Right.
You know, working with the Albina Vision Trust.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice to see some of these dollars flowing into investment into the Albina neighborhood. But
yeah,
that's not happening in this bill.
Not yet. Anyway, we have just a couple more minutes before we get into the second half. What do we need to just touch on? I don't know. What are people not noticing that we need to say? New city council committee structure.
Oh, yeah.
Forthcoming. That's sort of interesting. It's interesting to me because I like to nerd out about that kind of stuff.
Kind of like taxes.
Kind of like how I love to talk about taxes. And I definitely don't find them confusing.
Althea can't wait until the new year. She's like, new taxes.
April 14th is coming. Also, and I was so bummed by the big, beautiful bill that it took away some of the taxes that I love. Anyway, also Republican state House Republicans, sorry, in the Senate, walked out Thursday, Wednesday, again. So we're doing
turn
that again.
Back the years. Oh, we're reeling the years.
Throwback. You know, yeah. How they kind of stopped doing that because they were going to lose their ability to run for re-election?
Sure.
That's only if they hit 10 absences. The short session is so short, and they actually had... So it was about the transportation tax ballot measure, which they got enough signatures to put it on the November ballot. Democrats want to move it to May, but the... Which is like a sort of a fraught process. And then the Secretary of State says... It has to be signed, like passed and signed by February 25th, which, if you will notice, is 5 days from now. So to stop, if they don't have a quorum, then they can't vote on it. The Republicans walked out, so they don't have quorum. And the Republicans can, in fact, walk out for every day until that deadline and not lose their seats.
They've saved up their sick days.
Yeah, they saved up their sick days to be able to stop this from going through. And what I will also note is that Oregon Senate President Rob Wagner was on News in Depth a few weeks ago, and I interviewed him. And one question that we asked was about the likelihood of walkouts. And as the guy who controls over the state Senate, is that something that he's worried about? And he got sort of jokey about it. And I was like, I thought it was going to be an easy question for him to ask. But sort of the gist of what he was saying was that Republicans really only walk out about culture war issues. So they walked out over abortion, over trans rights, and over guns. That's what gun control. That's what they've walked out about in the past. And it was his anticipation that with the short session being so short and they had so much to do, and those culture issues really not culture hot button. I don't know. That's just the category I'm giving you. Like things that they want to say that they had no part in, those weren't really going to come up. They just had so much budget stuff to do that the Republicans wouldn't walk out.
He forgot that. There's car culture too. Ever seen those Ram commercials?
And also taxes.
2,500 pound payload lift up.
Anyway, that's something that's happening. So that's cool. I don't know if there's anything else we need to mention before the break. Are you ready for a little break, Reed?
I thought we would talk about John DiLorenzo.
Well, maybe we can get into him in the second half.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Well, an old friend visits the studio. John DiLorenzo is actually in the other room right now. We're about to bring him in.
That's not true. You're listening. Oh, no, I'm going to do a little reset. You're listening to Genius Box here on KBOO Community Radio. After a short musical break, we got those phone lines open for you. So stay with us.
Bye-bye.
And we are back here on Genius Box, KBOO Community Radio. I'm Althea. I'm here with Reed. A little Dry County B-52s for you. It is... thank you. It is call-in time, guys. Our question for you today, and you can riff on whatever you want, really, but... Yeah. What would you put in if they're renovating the Moda Center? How do you want them to fix it? Mm-hmm. Let us know. 503-231-8187. We also have a little bit of Olympics trivia for you if you call in. We may ask you a trivia question so we can learn
the season. Dun 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 dun. We have the the snow machine in the room. It's a balmy negative 30 degrees in the Genius Box right now.
Reed was asking me in the break if we were going to get in trouble if he sang the NBC Olympic song. And I said, I don't think so.
By doing it mildly out of tune, I've managed to avoid.
Totally absolved of all guilt.
Yeah.
503-231-8187 is the phone number. You can also message us on the KBOO website, kboo.fm. Click on that chat with us button. We would love to hear what you have to say about the Moda Center, if you want to talk about the Zenith thing, I'd love to hear about what you think about
also
the
what you would
thing.
Call the Moda Center.
Yeah, what's a good name for it?
The contract is up.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be called the Moda Center anymore.
Right.
We don't owe Moda anything anymore.
Squeak on it. What would you put in the new Moda Center?
My voice is not squeaking. What would I put in the
it's
new
a
Moda
joke,
Center?
Reed. Don't get too
okay.
sad about it.
Things I would put in the new Moda Center.
Mm-hmm.
Ski ball.
Yeah, that's one major attraction.
Soft serve machine.
Yeah, sure.
And my patent pending. That was a bit of a squeak.
It's not about you specifically. It's just something I'm saying now.
I see
you. It's not a criticism, I promise.
My new patent-pending idea, mm-hmm. which I'm temporarily, until I come up with a better name, calling Carousel Demo Derby.
Okay.
That is where, instead of horses that you ride on, they're rusted-out cars. It's still the same carousel, but now you're stepping in freely and driving around a kind of apocalyptic wasteland carousel environment.
Yeah. And that feels good and new and renovated. I think that's, you know, that's something.
That's still kind of a little bit of the old, a little bit of the new.
Uh-huh. Can I give you a Olympics trivia question?
You may.
And you say yes. what figure skater...
And I got a treat for saying yes.
Do you know who the most decorated figure skater in U.S. history is?
Ooh. Now, that wouldn't be the great Brian Boitano, would it?
No.
Okay. Then I give up. Oh. No, wait.
Come on. Use your brain.
Michelle Kwan?
Yes.
Whoa.
Good job.
Ray, play a sound bite of incredibly large crowd cheering dramatically.
Okay. He doesn't have to do that. Ray, do you want an Olympics trivia question? Come on. We got Ray in the studio with us today Nate is out at the coast. So if you do call, you know. Okay, well, we can come back to Ray. We'll come back to Ray. Folks, if you want to call, please 503-231-8187. We got Olympics trivia. We want to know, how would you fix the Moda Center? Or maybe you think that it is A-okay.
It's perfect as is. Maybe you love the idea of $600 million to... subprime auto loan tycoon.
Well, yeah, I mean, we want to hear these perspectives are important. Okay, let's give Ray
Ray's
a little
on the line.
Ray, hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I think we should rename the Moda Center the subprime
continue in a current trend of great great stadium names. Crypto Arena.
Oh, right, yeah.
There you go.
Ray, you want a trivia question?
Yeah, I'm terrible at trivia, but give it a shot.
Okay. What year were women first permitted to compete in the Olympic Games?
Mm.
Ooh. I probably won't even get the right year.
There's a lot of years to choose from.
It may not even be an Olympic year. How about 1924?
It was actually 24 years previous. 1900, they were first allowed to.
I thought you were
going to
say it was 2014. It's like, kind of forgot that. But
huh.
Wow. All right, I'm going quiet.
All right, thanks, Ray. 503-231-8187. You can also message us on the KBOO website, kboo.fm. We got trivia. We got tax policy? Is it? Are you guys bored by tax policy? Can you tell us?
I think
that would be good.
I think
know
their
too.
Silence speaks volumes.
Tax policy experts, call, please tell us that we should care. Okay, we do have somebody on the line. Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Tawasi, hey.
Hey there. You guys are awesome, and your theme song is amazing, and I just love the content of your characters, and thanks for putting together a show with your unique beings.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tawasi.
Wow, incredible. What's on your mind? What do you got going on?
Well, I was thinking about the Modus Center because, you know, we give a lot of money to developers. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what it feels like to me, is like, oh, I know, let's figure out how we can give some money to developers. Because, all right, let's just look at the Ritz-Carlton, okay? Mm-hmm. We love the Ritz-Carlton.
We love it.
Big boosters. Althea's wearing a Ritz-Carlton. I went to the Ritz-Carlton. All I got was a Ritz-Carlton T-shirt.
Yeah.
The Ritz-Carlton, it sits in bankruptcy, unless I'm mistaken.
I believe that's true. Well, the one in Portland, anyway.
Yeah, that's how they're getting out of the requirement to pay the city for
affordable housing.
Right. So it's empty. Right, because they can't raise enough money through rent, and it ends up being a liability to the owners. Mm. And so that's what I think we should do with the Modus Center, is make it into a liability for the owners.
Yeah, 100%.
Shoot, the city's the owner, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So they can escape paying taxes on it, because after all, isn't property really just a loophole to avoid taxes? Isn't that the only reason it exists? Mm. So anything that we do short of acknowledging that is really just a favor to subprime auto loan tycoons.
Right.
Or, you know, take your pick of whichever developer you want to. In our city, the construction industry takes out massive loans to build these sorts of projects, and the bankers make enormous amounts of interest off of those loans. And the buildings ultimately go belly up as a tax break for the wealthy. And so if you look at our city center, it's hollowed out. And this is the same with any city, not just Portland. You can go to Oregon City. You can go to the Dalles. You can go to Cascade Locks, Bend, Sisters, any city, you know, Chicago, Detroit, Minneapolis, just take your pick of cities. Mm-hmm. And it's actually the same pieces of dog turd, pardon my French, that do this work. It's the same bankers, it's the same board members of the same corporations, and they sit around at the Arlington Club on Friday evenings drinking their cognac and talking about the people who are ruining the city because they're addicted to drugs to cope with the atrocities being carried out against them. So, okay, I absolutely hate those people, because they represent less than 1% of the population of Portland, and the rest of us have to suffer because of their gluttonous behaviors. Mm. Mm. Meanwhile, they're destroying the city from the inside out with the tacit approval of the city. And by which I mean capital C bureaus of the city.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sometimes explicit support of the city, not just tacit.
We as the citizens accept this neo-colonial hell because we rather accept that than cope with what we should actually be doing, which is obviously giving land back to the Chinook people. The Chinook people aren't even recognized in this conversation. Zenith Energy is just another colonial exploitative project taking advantage of the Chinook people, just like you and Reed are. and Ray, unless you are the Chinook people, which I haven't heard you explicitly say, so I'm assuming you're a colonizer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
To any Chinook people listening, I love you. The Talapuya people, you know, the people of the Wilmot, like, take your pick of any indigenous nation. It comes at our expense. Every drop of blood that has been spilled, and don't get me wrong, like, our blood was spilled. We weren't even allowed to be buried inside of the city of Portland. And now they're going to create another exploitative project at the Motive Center, you know, which was stolen from a more diverse neighborhood because nobody wanted to live on the east side of the river. So I'm up to here holding my hand way above my head with the colonial baloney. And what I would love to see is land back to indigenous people. And there are organizations doing that. I'm tired of caving and platforming horrible indigenous people. I wish you guys would do better with that. I mean, you listen to me just about every day. No. Okay, so land back and vacancy tax. And obviously at the Moda Center, they need to build in a free food forest.
Mm.
Every city should be building a free food forest right into every single new development. The only reason they don't build free food forests in is because they want to put those white, stinky semen trees that are about to come into bloom, and I hate that season the most.
Yeah.
So changing the developing code and projects so that free food forests are integrated instead of explicitly male trees that are throwing off pollen all the time. What the hell is wrong with city planners?
Yeah, well, plenty of things. They got but I hear what you're saying, that there's more ambitious work that needs to be done than just, you know, the handout or a rename or just adding skee ball. So we got to think a little bigger. Before you go, Tawasi, do you want to hear a trivia question?
Actually, I turn off the radio when sports comes on.
Okay.
I'm tired of it.
That's fair enough. I respect your autonomy to not have a trivia question, and we'll give it on to the next person. So thank you, Tawasi. Folks, if you want to call, please, 503-231-8187 is the phone number. This is Genius Box. We're talking about what they want to redo the Moda Center. What do we put in the Moda Center? What do we do? Is it even that bad? If you want to talk about the Zenith thing, you can. We got a little bit of Olympics trivia out there for you.
Supposedly, we don't have enough eddies in the concourse.
What?
According to, so I'm just parroting other architects.
But do you know what that means?
Well, I know what an eddy in a river means.
Right.
And I'm assuming that they're meaning a river of people walking through the carousel concourse. Still on the carousel.
Okay. All right. We have Jeff on the line. Hi, Jeff. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Those eddies are designed to distract you in your bath, wherever you may be.
They're designed for tranquility on the river.
But I have called this morning my friendly, wonderful, very bright genii to grind my axe.
All right.
We'll be the stone. Whet your...
The corporation, as you know, is a term that is derived from corpus, it means the body. And the decision in the early aughts by the Supreme Court of the United States in the case of Citizens United versus FEC, the Federal Elections Commission, made the decision that corporations are indeed people. However, a corporation can lead to intense corruption. And I present to you three corporations that by their nature have become corrupt. There is WF, there is another WF, and then there is an NS. The first WF is Wells Fargo, a corporation that has been caught in their corruption and was issued a near-record fine for creating false accounts of its customers and ripping the people off. Now, the corporations are beholden to not their customers, but to their investors. And so for that purpose, they will screw the customer because the customer is second class. The next WF is Whole Foods. You know them. You love them. Yes, they appeared on the scene to bring us all of these gourmet organic goodies over the years, and they sucked up any number of other corporations into their corporation, and then, of course, were purchased by Jeff Bezos, who himself now has purchased the Washington Post, one of the major legacy media outlets in the nation, which will be laying off 30% of its employee, including its newsroom, come May. And was in response to the idea that the investor is part of the corporation. The investor's money is what brings this body, this corporation, into personhood under Citizens United versus FEC. Hmm. And the third is NS, New Seasons, which just announced not long ago that 95 of their people will be laid off, especially in those shops that have been unionized since 2022. Now, this company, I actually went to Nature's on Corbett when I first landed in Portland 30 years ago. Nature's on Corbett in southwest Portland, the place that smelled so highly of patchouli. And you could walk on their weathered, splintered hardwood floors that were more like bed springs than floors, with narrow aisles and the macrame everywhere. Nature's on Corbett. Eventually it grew into be a bit larger. And then they became, well, a particular bunch broke off, but Nature's became Wild Oats, which was a Boulder, Colorado concern. And the Wild Oats was folded into, you got it, Whole Foods. Okay. Well, that little bunch from Nature's on Corbett split off to form what they called, eventually, New Seasons. Again, the same kind of granola-based organic goodness with high prices. Well, they were bought by an investment firm, an investment corporation, offshore, of people who were interested more in making money than serving customers. And sure enough, New Seasons now is beholden to its investors, not to its customers, which are number two. Hmm. I say this to axe grind only because I, yours truly, as of now, have been banned for life from Wells Fargo, from Whole Foods, and from New Seasons. Banned for life.
Wow.
And I'll say this much. I am not only saving money by not shopping at these overpriced corporate stores, but I am preventing any money that I may have in my tiny accounts from being plundered by Wells Fargo, the company that was in the business of transporting banknotes and gold, stolen gold, all across the West from coast to coast and into the West, and shooting Indians from the stagecoach. And I think Tuasi might have a little giggle about that one. Wells Fargo, Whole Foods, New Seasons. There are no reasons why anyone should consider themselves a customer of any of these places when, in fact, they're completely beholden to so-called investors. And so it is that Chris is also right about the Moda Center. If it's going to be named for a corporation, well, fine. I've lived here in Albina for 25 years, and I have watched as surely, slowly, sometimes tragically, Albina has been subsumed into corporate interests. Mm-hmm. Now, give me that trivia question and I'll get off the line.
Oh, sure. Your Olympic trivia question. What is the oldest winter Olympic sport?
Sounds so glib now.
It sounds insanely glib. I do apologize for that.
Well, I suspect it's downhill skiing.
It's actually figure skating. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
That is interesting.
Kind of. Well, thank
and
you
with
for
that,
calling.
I win nothing, and I hope that you have a good weekend. And I'll talk to you lovely young people later.
Thank you, Jeff.
Talk to you soon, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Your prize is in the mail.
Oy, okay, well.
It all comes back to figure skating.
It all comes back to figure skating, guys. We have a few minutes left, folks, if anybody else would like to call, 503-231-8187. You want to talk about corporate greed? You want to fix the Moda Center? Let us know. You can also message us on the KBU website, kbu.fm. Reed, hi.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
Sorry, I was staring down at my shoes.
Have you been banned from any of those, places that...
I plead the fifth.
Okay, so that's a hard maybe for all the listeners at home about whether or not he's been
I will
banned.
Say that, yeah, one of those stores perhaps
is not so happy to see
is
your
not
face.
So happy to see, is not so excited to see my rosy cheeks.
Right. Do we want to talk a little bit about John DiLorenzo while we have a moment to ourselves?
Finish on a high note.
Well,
he's back, folks.
If you haven't heard of John DiLorenzo, he is a very busy lawyer who is often suing the city, Portland, or the state. He's doing a lot of lawsuits.
Kind of everyone.
He's doing a lot of lawsuits. His most recent one is to sue Portland over losing his... A business? Does he own the thing, or he's?
I believe he's just representing.
He's, okay,
but
so he's representing.
I would say that he's working in concert with.
Sure, he is suing the city over losing value, property value, because of the shelter that Wilson built in Northwest.
And he has had a long-standing campaign against houselessness, against. Yep.
The
humanity.
ADA lawsuit was
right.
Him, which notably was not endorsed by Disability Rights Oregon. Laurelhurst he sued on behalf of the trees in Laurelhurst Park during the pandemic to try to get the city to sweep homeless people out of that area.
Famously has stated that tents drive homelessness because people are incentivized to live outside.
Yeah, and so we should
get rid of tents. That was part of the loss, the ADA lawsuit.
Well, we'll come back to him if we have time, but we have
Matthew on
Matthew line. With us. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Matthew.
Hi there. Thank you for having me on. I am not aware of the person you were talking about previously, but he sounds incredibly unempathetic.
Mm. Yep. Sure. It's a fair assessment. What do you got going on, Matthew?
I had a question for you all. I'm not well versed in really like business or anything like that. That's not my acumen. But I saw something on the Portland subreddit of someone proposing we take the Gateway Fred Meyer area and develop that into a sports center, like a stadium for say like a baseball team.
Hmm.
Over here in the east side. Is that like, would you call that a viable option? Do you think that would work for sort of incentivizing, you know, sports are always bring in people, it's a solid moneymaker. Would that be doable, a solid choice, or is that sort of pissing in the wind?
And it's an interesting question. I mean, my understanding is that the Portland Diamond Project is focused on the Zidell Yard site right now.
Yeah, that's what I always heard.
Mm-hmm. But
that they passed over the Lloyd Center.
But that was
settled on
before the Gateway Fred Meyer left.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that area is possibly a little bit better connected for people trying to get there, which I think is a drawback. I mean, it's real space limited, I think, when we're talking about building a baseball stadium. And I think there's also been talk of different investment into the Gateway neighborhood and possibly building housing there, that might be maybe more of interest to people. But any empty lot is definitely on the table.
It is important to, I think, like question the assumption of whether a sports team brings in revenue or whether that sort of is like the product of a cohesive kind of community that's able to perhaps like capture visitors that are in there and has a lot of things to offer. I think as far as I understand, and there's a great article in like City Observatory talking about this, but that sports effectively are kind of a substitute for other you know, consumption that would go on in a city. The idea that a sports team itself comes in and generates revenue is
generates new revenue that didn't exist before
is maybe a bit of a faulty assumption. Yeah. And that was something that, you know, has been applied to like the Trailblazers when the ownership team will say, you know, this team generates all this revenue. People have poked holes in that and saying, well, that is revenue that they have sequestered in that area, but also that's revenue that's not necessarily flowing back to the city. Like that's investment in, you know, that's money that's going to this team and to their shareholders.
Right. I hope that answers your question, Matthew.
That's not a really full assumption, but I think, you know, it's something to consider.
That's absolutely fine. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. We appreciate you calling. We are running out of time here, so I apologize. We're going to have to leave it there. No, we don't have time for another one. I don't think so. We can go really, really quick to Crystal, I think. Crystal, can you go quickly? We got like 2 minutes.
Hi, thanks. Sorry. I feel like at this point, the Moda Center is kind of rich people problems. And right now, the Portland Public School Board is planning on closing the high school at the Metropolitan Learning Center. And where my child goes, it's like one of the very few schools in the city that's working. So people need to pay attention right now. What our schools are doing. They're also planning on putting AI in our public schools, which we all have to fight.
Not good.
They also, I looked it up, and they've spent at least $12 million on Chromebooks, and those are destroying our children's education. There's a lot of research about that. So we need to be getting on our school boards so that our children have a decent education. That is the key. That's the key.
Yeah.
Thank you, Crystal.
Funnel public money into schools and not into Tom Dundon's pet projects.
This is a brave statement from Genius Box. The children are our future, not subprime auto loan.
Subprime auto loan tycoons.
All right, we gotta go. We're happy to have you have been with us this morning. We got Veterans Voice next. I'm Althea.
I'm Reed.
Thank you to Ray on the ones and twos. We'll see you next week.
And the threes and fours.
KABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation.